Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. I needed to let you know that we are coming down to the wire on RebateJet.com. What's RebateJet? It's a platform I created for you guys, the small to medium-sized sellers trying to compete against those big brands with those big budgets. Go now to RebateJet.com, sign up for that free seller account before it goes away this month. Now, why do you want to be a part of RebateJet? Just a few things. You can list promo codes for free. You can offer 3 rebates free per day. You can list your products and sell them directly to our customers on our website. We even have a free liquidation marketplace for you to unload products that didn't work out. We also have something else crazy in the works. You guys are going to love it. Go now, RebateJet.com. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wiese.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Andy Arnott with
Amy Wiese.
And this is Seller Roundtable number 75. And we are with Rob Hornstein today. Rob, I hope I got that right. I forgot to check this time. I usually ask the guests beforehand so I don't butcher your name.
Yeah, that was perfect.
Awesome. Welcome, man. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on Seller Roundtable today. And you're going to give our audience kind of something really unique, which I'm excited to see. Which is, how to expand into Amazon International Marketplaces. But before we get to that, we always like to get kind of a little background so that, you know, people can kind of learn who our guests are. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, a little more about you, share as little or as much as you like, things like where you're born, where you live now, past jobs, college, school, anything you want to share about your journey to where you are now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me today. I'm really looking forward to this. A little bit about my background. I actually got started in e-commerce about almost exactly 1 year ago this week, actually, was when I started my e-commerce journey. It's kind of right at the end of my time in college. I graduated last December in what turns out to be a global pandemic. So not exactly a great timing to be looking for my first job. And so I kind of decided, okay, I'm really going to try to make this e-commerce thing work. I'm going to try to go into this full time and really try to scale it up. And at that point was when I really started to get into FBA and really try to push and scale my business. And as a part of that, I got connected with eGrow, which is kind of a seller research tool that I wasn't very familiar with before. And I'm just doing some kind of outreach and kind of marketing for them, doing a lot of videos and things like that. And it's been a really awesome experience for me because I've gotten to speak with so many sellers, both in the United States as well as around the world, who are selling on using Amazon FBA in categories and in countries I didn't even really think of as a possibility. So it really just opened my eyes to the opportunities not only here, but also around the world, and has really gotten me excited to actually start selling internationally as well.
Awesome. Yeah, that's excellent. I'm like I said, I'm excited to see kind of where you think that the biggest opportunities are in terms of the Amazon marketplaces. So if you guys are watching the video on YouTube or on our website, sellerroundtable.com, you can actually see Rob's slides. If you guys are listening to this on the podcast, you can go back to the website and check those out. But he's also going to kind of talk you through it as he goes.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and get started. We'll just take a look at the U.S. marketplace. I'm sure many of you guys are kind of aware of some of the information about selling on FBA in the United States, but I think it's kind of a great baseline to get an understanding for all these countries that we're going to look at moving forward. And again, if you guys have questions or if any of the audience throws in questions, feel free to cut me off and we'll get into that. But the United States FBA market is the oldest one in the world, founded in 1995. And in the United States, there's over $600 billion in e-commerce revenue every year. So there's huge opportunity. But with that also comes huge competition. Amazon's really got a strong foothold in that marketplace. And so there's really, been great opportunity over the last several years. And it continues to be good opportunity in the U.S., but it's just becoming more difficult all the time in terms of the number of competing sellers as well as the investment required to get started. You'll see I've kind of come up with my own little metrics here at the bottom of the screen. And for those listening, I'll just kind of make sure to read them off as well. But in terms of market size, competition, and investment, those are kind of the three main factors that we're going to be looking at across all these marketplaces. I give the United States a 5 out of 5 for all three of these metrics. So it's a huge marketplace. Obviously, like I said, it's the biggest, very strong competition. And there's also quite a bit of investment required to get started. You know, in some cases, you can definitely find opportunities to get started on a smaller budget. But in comparison to some of these other markets that we're going to be taking a look at, you're not going to get as much bang for your buck, so to speak. So just kind of a quickly just wanted to give you guys this information so we have kind of a framework for where we're going to go moving forward. Let's see. So the next marketplace and probably one of the other most popular marketplaces is the United Kingdom. And that's also where we see a lot of opportunity these days. It is a very old marketplace, over 20 years old, founded in 1998. And there's $142 billion of market share to go around in the e-commerce market. Amazon holds about 30% of that market share, give or take. And half of Amazon's 40 plus EU fulfillment centers are in the UK. So this is actually a pretty centralized hub for Amazon and for FBA throughout all of Europe. So definitely kind of like an interesting and possibly a good first option when first expanding into Europe.
I think that's so interesting, Rob, because, you know, UK in terms of where it's geographically located in Europe is kind of outside of what you would consider Central Europe. So it's really interesting to me that, you know, over 20 of the FCs are in the UK. Mm-hmm. And so I'm interested to see how the UK's market share compares with like Germany and Italy and Spain.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're about to jump into those countries as well. And, you know, I think historically this has always been a really strong point for Amazon, but, you know, with more recent events like Brexit and things like that, where it's maybe shifting the economy of Europe as a whole a little bit, you know, I'd certainly expect to see a little bit of that investment in infrastructure within the UK, maybe switch to other countries, whether it be Germany, the Netherlands, France, or whatever that those countries might be. So, yeah, that's a great point that historically this has been really strong for Amazon, probably, you know, definitely the second most, I mean, established successful market, however you want to describe it. But that's not necessarily going to be the case moving forward. I'd say overall niches are a little bit less saturated than the United States, but competition can still be very fierce depending on the category you're looking at. And overall kind of the market size and investment, it all just falls slightly below the US marketplace. As you brought up, Germany is kind of the next marketplace we can jump into. Also founded in 1998, same day as the UK marketplace. It didn't take off quite as well as the UK market, at least initially. The growth wasn't quite there in the early days. Currently sitting around $73 billion in revenue each year, and Amazon holds 27% of that market share. But as of the last couple of years, Germany is actually starting to grow much faster than the UK in terms of increase in revenue each year. And it's also one of the most profitable marketplaces throughout all of Europe. So Germany is definitely kind of like an interesting market to keep your eye on. You know, UK has kind of been the dominant marketplace in Europe over the last several years. But I, in my opinion, at least, Germany is really kind of that up and coming marketplace that has the best chance to really overtake the UK. The one kind of issue or maybe reason that Germany hasn't kind of met expectations, at least compared to the UK so far, is the language barrier. And that's something to kind of keep in mind throughout all of these marketplaces. In countries where English isn't the predominant language, yes, you do see many people that do speak English, especially in business. But Amazon does require you to be able to offer seller support in the country's native language. So, you know, if that's something that you can do yourself, that gives you a huge leg up on any other maybe US or Chinese based competition that's trying to get into the market. Alternatively, if you don't have that language knowledge, you can certainly outsource that and bring someone in that can help you with that. So
another, Rob, just something I just wanted to jump in real quick and point this mm-hmm. out too. A lot of people don't realize is the other reason why I think you're spot on with Germany really expanding and growing and being a dominant marketplace is Germany is a huge manufacturing hub in the EU. So, you know, you can actually source products from Germany and sell them in Germany, you know, like contact a manufacturer in Germany, source the product there, then they literally deliver it to the fulfillment centers in Germany and, you know, pretty hands-off, very similar to, you know, what you can do in the US or, you know, from China direct to the US where it's fairly easy to spin up products. Not only that, but German products are really well known for being quality products. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. That's a great point. And also just kind of going back to what we were talking about on the last slide, but that Frankfurt and, you know, Germany in particular is kind of becoming a central business hub for Germany, you know, very easy to ship products to, very easy to travel through when trying to get to the rest of Europe, especially with kind of the changes going on in the UK. So yeah, certainly a potential big up and coming marketplace. And then again, you know, not quite as saturated as the UK. So definitely excellent opportunities in certain niches that aren't as saturated maybe as the UK or as especially as in the United States. So overall, yeah, a very interesting marketplace to kind of keep an eye on. Moving forward, we'll kind of, I think, continue through Europe here. The French market was founded actually a little bit after the United Kingdom and Germany, founded in 2000 and currently sits at $46 billion in e-commerce revenue each year. And Amazon holds 18% of this market share. So certainly not quite as dominant as in Germany and in the UK. The big reason for this is there are other e-commerce companies in France that have really kind of made it tough on Amazon. Amazon's certainly doing a good job and they're definitely taking the lead. But there is a lot of competition that has been able to hold on. And forgive me, I was looking at the list earlier of the names of the competition and I don't speak French, so I can't give those to you guys today. But, you know, certainly something to keep in mind if you're thinking about getting into Europe is that for whatever reason, Amazon just continues to see that kind of intense competition in France.
I think that's really interesting because, you know, here in the US, we think about other channels that we could be selling in, right? Like I sell in Walmart and Wayfair and some other e-commerce channels, Mercari, Etsy, you know, and Andy's gotten into some other ones too. And I guess that's something that none of us really think about when we think about expanding to the EU. And you think 18% of the on, now is that, when we say market share, is that the online, the e-commerce market share, or is that all of retail market share?
Yes, that's strictly e-commerce sales.
Wow. So yeah. There's others that have a larger portion of the e-com market. So if you do have a, you know, a product that might do especially well in France, you might want to study up on some of the other e-commerce channels and even, you know, Germany or UK, and see what other opportunities there are and whether or not you could break into those channels as well.
Certainly, yeah. And you know, just in terms of the metrics for this market, we give France kind of a 2 out of 5 for the market size, competition, and investment. And that market size is really, you know, more related to Amazon's place in the market where, you know, they're seeing a lot of competition. So with that being said, there is a lot of opportunity because, you know, there are so many other competitors, the investment to get started isn't quite as high. So, you know, although it's not taking off quite as much as the UK or certainly Germany, you know, this could be a good option or possibility for maybe a brand new seller or someone who's getting started with a bit of a lower budget, because you might not see those huge returns right away, but there's definitely potential for growth and it's going to be a little bit easier to get into, at least at the beginning.
Especially if you speak French.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're going to see this on all these slides, but really in places where English isn't the predominant language. So we're talking the UK, Australia, the US, you know, there is going to be that language component.
The big thing too, is it's not in e-commerce. It's not just about whether you speak the language. It's about whether or not you know the keywords in that language that people, the way people search for something. We've had Jana Krekic on a couple of times from YLT Translations where she explains like, hey, it's not as simple as just like Google translating your listing on, you know, one of these other international platforms, because that's not necessarily related to a keyword or the way someone would call that thing that they're searching for. For it to show up in search results. So
Exactly. That's a great point. I mean, when I'm doing product research, trying to understand what's trending in these international marketplaces, you know, I get all these keywords, for example, in French, and I go to translate them. And I think, you know, that's kind of a weird way to phrase it. Like, you know, that's not how people would search for that item in America, but you really kind of have to have that understanding of not only being able to like speak the language, but like you were saying, really understand it and be able to use it like in a business sense. So yeah, that's a great point.
I think the other thing that people really have trouble with in Europe when they're expanding into Europe is all of the VAT charges. I have a couple of clients in the UK and they're okay because their businesses are based in the UK. But I know a lot of my clients who are in the US who have who are selling in the UK, they've been hit with these huge VAT, you know, these tons of VAT charges, right? Mm-hmm. Where some of them didn't plan. They thought there was like a loophole where they only had to sell underneath a certain amount and they wouldn't have to pay VAT, but that turned out to not be true. So have you studied any of that, Rob, in terms of what people are running into when you're a US-based seller who wants to expand? Have you studied anything about the import, export, the local VAT charges, anything like that?
Certainly. Yeah, that's definitely something to keep in mind when you're looking to expand into an international marketplace. And that is, you know, research that you can do yourself, because it's going to be kind of a case by case basis. You know, how it works in France is going to be different than how it works in Australia, obviously. So I would, yeah, definitely encourage people that they need to do their own research specific to the market that they're looking to get into. It also doesn't hurt to have some sort of representation that's familiar with that market and maybe their tax laws as well, whether it's a lawyer, an accountant who has an understanding of either the laws in that country or how to get information about the laws in those countries as well. But you'll see here, we're going to jump into Brazil fairly soon here. And that's going to be a big point I'd like to cover talking about that market as well, is just you know, some of the taxes and the duties that you have to pay when sending products into that country really don't make it worth it in a lot of cases. So, you know, that's something that you have to factor into your profitability calculation that you may not think about when strictly selling in the US. So let's go ahead and jump into Canada now. Founded a little bit later than France, back in 2002. So market is, you know, about 18 years old now or so, and they have a $25 billion e-commerce market. And over the last few years, Amazon has really focused on optimizing delivery. You know, Canada, at least relative to the United States, doesn't have a huge population, but it's very spread out, right? Geographically, it's a very large country. So that's a big challenge. That's been a big challenge for Amazon, is trying to improve distribution and really figure out the best way that they can serve their customers. And I think that's something that they are starting to really be able to improve upon, that's been helping sellers quite a bit. There are also other e-commerce giants in Canada, you know, whether it's Walmart or eBay, kind of similar to the United States, where, you know, it's not necessarily hurting Amazon too much, but, you know, if you are interested in getting into e-commerce in Canada, you know, you might also consider looking at some of these other avenues as well, because there's certainly a lot of opportunity in that case. So, you know, generally market size, competition, investment, all, you know, kind of middle of the road, about 3 out of 5 in terms of, you know, it's not too overwhelming for brand new sellers, but the market is, I would say, trending in the right direction. And it's not a market that I hear talked about very often. So certainly something to consider.
Yeah. You know that as well. I've had some experience selling in Canada, and what I learned, well, first of all, you know, Amazon has a new program where they are, I believe it's called NARF, where they are fulfilling your products for you. But some people who are living in Canada are saying that that when they buy through that program, they get charged extra on those shipping charges for Amazon to fulfill it from the US to Canada. The VAT from the US to Canada is actually quite expensive. And so some of my products are made in the US. And so I was importing, or exporting up to Canada, right, from the US, And the VAT charges were so high on my products that I ended up having to raise my price, right, of my products to cover it. And then fulfillment was also very expensive. In Canada, they have their delivery, their postal service program is not as, I would say, robust as it is in the US. So sometimes delivery is delayed and there's issues with that. And so what I found out is that when I raised my price in Canada, what the Canadians were doing is they were just going on Amazon.com and ordering the products there at a lower price. And some of them have US-based addresses where they can just go and pick up the products and whatever, right? But yeah, I learned the hard way that if you cannot import directly into Canada from your wherever your country is, wherever that product is being produced. So if you have products being produced in China, for example, it's best for you to ship that direct to Canada's fulfillment centers for fulfillment versus trying to use the NARF program or trying where Amazon fulfills it between Canada or Mexico from the US, or trying to ship to the US first and then move all your stuff to Canada and paying those charges again, right? At least if you're putting your products right from China to Canada, then you're only paying those charges one time. But oh my gosh, I definitely learned my lesson there in terms of selling in Canada. For people that live in Canada and can source locally, this is an incredible opportunity because they can keep their prices low. They're already paying those charges on those products at the point of purchase and not having to pay them again and again like the rest of us. So that's what I learned about selling in Canada. And I'm going to try the NARF program a little bit and see how well that works. And it's a good thing to try because you don't lose anything, right? If it works for your products, it works. If not, then you're not out any money. You didn't send anything to Canadian fulfillment centers and have to try and sell out of that inventory.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, Andy, go ahead.
No, yeah, I was just going to add to that. So I don't know if you guys log into your Seller Central accounts today, you'll actually see in the kind of news and update section that they just kind of expanded and made it easier for you to do the remote fulfillment with FBA. But what's new, I don't think this was the case before, is it says if you use this program now, it'll give you the Prime badge in Canada as well. And they also take care of, like Amy was saying, like any of the cross-border logistics, right? So import duties, getting the product up there, it's pretty much like super hands-off. But like Amy mentioned, what you will want to do is definitely look at those fees and make sure that your products are priced. You can actually price them differently. There's another new section where if you go into the edit screen of your Amazon products now, they're at the bottom there. There's actually kind of this little tiered thing that shows you, okay, this is what you're charging in the US, this is what you're charging in Mexico, and this is what you're charging in Canada. And make sure you guys adjust those prices to make sure that you're, getting that profit margin that you expect. But this is really cool in the sense that you're getting to now expand into Canada and Mexico with almost no, zero work. And just a little bit of I think if you have a lot of products, you can upload a spreadsheet and just say, yes, I want, this product to be included. If you only have a few products, you can just go into the remote fulfillment with FBA settings and just specify, hey, I want these ASINs included. So pretty interesting play by Amazon to get, more products into Canada and Mexico from the US.
Thanks for tuning in to part one of this episode. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, sellerseo.com and amazingathome.com.